Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What's up, Bills Mafia? I'm Fernando Shimuji, that's your leading the chart at Buffalo Rumblings. Today, I'm back with another mock draft, Mock Draft 3.0. And the first version, the first edition, post-free agency, after all, the bulk of the free agency is already on the books, right? We can already have the information about the moves Brandon Green has done to strengthen that Bills squad, we can start to see what he envisions for his squad for 2024. And with all those moves already done and with an idea of the roster for the Bills for 2024, we can aim the draft and aim some targets based on what we already have and the needs the Bills still have. And even the needs the Bills don't have anymore, right? Because I don't know about you, but in my opinion, Brandon Bean has done a good job filling all the holes needed to go to this draft without thinking about needs and thinking more about the quality of the players. And he's definitely in a situation where he can follow his board and he can draft best player available, unlike a lot of people in national media. When you believe this Bills team, they don't have a lot of needs, a lot of holes. And in truth, I feel like they are in a need of quality players, superstar players. It's always great to add superstars. But if you look at the lineup all around, you have good players all over this lineup. You have solid starters all over this depth chart, and it's not like the Bills really need to draft a wide receiver in round one. It's a special group of wide receivers, and the players that the Bills already have are enough for the Bills to go to the season with. And actually, I even think they have a better group, a better wide receiver pass catching group, adding the tight ends to the fold as well. I feel like they are in a better situation right now than they were at this time a year ago. At this time a year ago, I was really worried about this group, and I wanted DeAndre Hopkins, a trade for DeAndre Hopkins badly. Nowadays, I feel like the Bills are in a better situation. They have players that can play well enough in every position, like wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three. You can have solid, capable guys playing, and it's not a total need to draft a wide receiver. In my opinion, it's still good. It's still wise to draft a wide receiver in round one, because with a special group of wide receivers available in this draft, you still can find the future Josh Allen's number one, right? You can get this guy early in this roster. You can have him working alongside Stephon Diggs, learning from one of the best at running routes and separating. And you can have this guy getting into the lineup without being forced of producing since day one. He can get in, rotate in, and learn and play, and in time become this weapon for Josh. It's not needed for him to jump in and be the guy from day one. So it's a good situation to add a wide receiver at round one. I still believe the Bills will go this route, despite all the talk of possibilities going elsewhere, because as I've been saying, the Bills can choose different routes since they have solid guys already in this wide receiver depth chart, and they can go in another position where they feel like they have a better player on the board, like defensive tackle is a possibility. Defensive end is another possibility, edge rushers, right? Guys that will rotate in, you play a lot, and the Bills need contributors there. with the signings, again, Bean has put himself in a good situation. He doesn't definitely need a round one edge rusher or a round one defensive tackle. But adding superstar power to this group is always very good. So if the Bills find the best possible player available at 28 or near this peak, because the Bills can trade up a little bit, the Bills can trade out of the first round and gather a third round pick that Green was counting on. And unfortunately, with the uncommon situation, the Bills didn't get a third round pick from compensatory formula, and they might feel forced to find it elsewhere via trade. So there are a lot of possibilities. Defensive backfield, safety is obviously a place where you feel like you can upgrade with an elite safety prospect, right? You have solid starters, guys that should be able to come in and play since day one and play well from free agency, like Mike Edwards, Taylor Rapp. They offer a solid tandem. Ken Lewis is still got potential, in my opinion. And you have solid picks, but it would be nice to add a difference maker, a superstar guy there. Just like it would be nice to add a superstar everywhere in this roster, right? Other than quarterback with Josh Allen, other than wide receiver with Stephon Diggs. And there are questions right now about whether Stephon Diggs is still a superstar with his bad stretch down the road last season. You can upgrade everywhere with superstars. You might not be able to upgrade with good players because you already have good players all over this depth chart. But finding superstars, you can play them anywhere on this roster, anywhere but quarterback, in my opinion. Right? So even if they go recently, people are talking about the possibility of cornerback position being picked up and the Bills making a huge investment on the cornerback position. I can see it happening because Rasul Douglas in the last year of his deal. Bamford has 2 years left, but Kyrie Elam, there are questions about his potential still and his capabilities of becoming a solid starter. I can see they investing at cornerback. They draft one, at least one every draft, and I definitely believe they will draft a cornerback in this draft, but so early, not sure. Maybe if the right guy is available, a guy that fits what they want, it's a possibility. So I can see they going several different routes in this mock draft 3.0. I will be looking at the possibilities, discussing with you and making the picks as I were in Brandon Bean's shoe, trying to think like Brandon Bean and not simply picking the guys I like the most. And let's see the results for today's draft and what we can add to this Bills roster, thinking in the 2024 season. Bills Mafia, please hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel, and help us, right, to continue to create content for all Bills Mafia. Feel free to interact via chat, give your opinions. If I pick a guy and you want to go in a different direction, let me know in the chat. Guys are getting there and sending your Go Bills, Franklin. Shout out to Franklin. Shout out to Renan. All guys getting there. Rafa, Leandro, all guys getting there from Brazil. So thank you so much. Shout out to all the guys. And feel free to interact and let's talk some Bills draft, guys. So without further ado, let me move on, and today I will be using the mock draft simulator from Pro Football Network, right? And so 7-round mock draft with the Buffalo Bills, normal speed, so we can see some of the picks and maybe think about the trading up, trading down. So enter the draft. Remembering this trade has this. Mock draft has trades elsewhere. So we have the top five already picked here with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, three quarterbacks being picked in the first three picks in the draft. What's good for us because we're not in the business for quarterback, obviously, and so just with those first three picks, our pick was 28th overall, and now it's 25th overall. So it's positive if it happens that way. But then Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison getting out back to back. And Romeo Dunze, 9th overall pick. So I pause here because there is a lot of talk about the Bills maybe trying a trade up for one of those top guys, right? It's a possibility, but it's not one that I really believe will happen, because Brandon Bean will need to part with so much draft capital to be able to do that. So I can't see the Bills doing this move this season for a Dulce in this case. But he was available here in 9th overall to the Bears, and a trade up here is a possibility. Laiatu Latu is out in the top 10 at 8th overall. That's a guy that some people are talking, oh, if he falls, he's a possibility for the Bills. Definitely, that's the best, most talented edge rusher in this draft. And if he falls to 28, I obviously believe Bean will consider picking him, and he can be a difference maker for this Bills, even if you gotta be a little bit scared by his injury history, but it's a possibility. So, unfortunately, in my case here in this mock, he's out in the top 10. Let's keep going. JJ McCarthy to the Vikings. So, Brian Thomas and Byron Murphy out of the board in 27th. 17th and 18th overall picks. Byron Murphy to the Bengals. I would hate it, right? And Brian Thomas to the Jaguars, right? The Jaguars that just signed Gabe Davis. So a lot of people love Brian Thomas and expect a trade-up from Ben to get him. I don't see Brandon Ben trading up to this range, 17th, 15th overall pick, to get Brian Thomas, right? Would I be mad if he's done it, that? Maybe I wouldn't like it if he parted with too much draft capital, because I get it. Brian Thomas is an intriguing prospect with his combo of size and production, and he can be special for sure. But I haven't seen enough from Brian Thomas to justify trading up for him in the teams. If you have opportunities at Adonai Mitchell, if you have opportunity at a guy like Coleman, or at a guy like even Xavier Leggett, you know, and changing a little bit the style, Xavier Worthy. So I wouldn't be comfortable knowing you can get one of those guys that I mentioned and you traded up for Brian Thomas in the teams and spent a lot of your capital. So I'm not that mad at all that we didn't try to make this move to the teams, because I don't believe Bean will do that. Now, if Thomas is available in the 20s, you know, 21st, 22nd pick, 23rd, then I can see if they really like Thomas as their guy, they moving up to get him. It's more in their range, in my opinion. So let's resume. Chop Robinson is out. Jackson Power Johnson has been a guy that a lot of people has mocked to the Bills, and a center from Oregon. Unlike a lot of people, I don't feel like the Bills are going to spend a high pick on a center right now. I feel like McGovern is still young enough and he can play long enough at center position that they don't want to go that route with centers in the first round right now. I definitely think if they go offensive line in round one, which I believe is a possibility, I believe they should go offensive tackle, a guy that has a possibility of jumping inside early in his career and play a little bit of guard if necessary, and maybe even competing with David Edwards at guard. but he can again be moved outside and play tackle and maybe replace Spencer Brown if he leaves via free agency at right tackle, or become a swing tackle possibility. So I feel like offensive tackle would be the wisest target if the Bills go offensive line in round one, and not center, because, okay, McGovern can move to guard then, but I don't feel like after moving McGovern to center, I don't feel like they want to take him away from that spot and those snaps, those valuable snaps playing at the center position. There has been a lot of talk about McGovern wanting to be the tip of the spear, lead the offensive line. So there is a transition. He practiced a little bit there, but he hasn't been real reps, real game reps. So he will need them. And drafting a center early is kind of killing McGovern's center career before it starts. I don't believe they went that direction without trusting McGovern to be the answer there, in without really wanting to give him a true fair shot at the center position. So drafting a center in the first, I feel like it goes completely against this direction they went. So I don't see the Bills investing in the center position early, right? Maybe guard, but I believe offensive tackle would be the wisest pick there. What do you think? Let me know.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So continue the mock draft here. Resume draft. 25th and Cooper DeJean gets out in the 25th overall pick. Cooper DeJean is a interesting, a very interesting prospect, because this guy can play cornerback at a really good level. He's being a cornerback, right, and a good one, a playmaker, a guy that intercepts a lot of passes. He's intercepted 7 passes, if I'm not mistaken, in the last few seasons. And this guy is from Iowa. We know how much Sean McDermott loves the Iowa program. We know that they play a similar defense and similar schemes as the Bills do, right? So it's not far-fetched to believe that Cooper DeJean can be one of the favorite prospects for the Bills, okay? And he can play cornerback, but he can play safety as well. So that's why I believe Cooper DeJean, if he's available even at the 25th pick, like here in our version of this mock draft, I can see the Bills making a move to trade up a little bit to get him, to secure his services. Because that's a defender that I believe McDermott really likes, and being probably as well. He goes to the Packers, right? Where the Bills really like to take some of their defensive backs. We saw with Hyde and now Russell Douglas. And so that's a trade that might happen. Maybe the Bills don't want to trade up and spend some draft capital. But if Cooper DeJean is available at 28, that's a pick that can happen for the Bills, definitely. Because this guy can play safety day one. He can be a star safety in this league, in my opinion. And still, he has potential. And he can become a cornerback if you need. He can go the opposite route that we are usually seeing in the league, like instead of starting at corner and moving to safety, we can see him moving to corner if necessary. But he can play a bit of nickel if Taron Johnson is banged up. He can play there. So he offers a lot of versatility in the backfield, and he offers star potential. I've been on record talking about that, and I got to repeat it again. Star potential is where Brandon Bean maybe has failed recently in his draft. Not so recently, because the last draft is looking good, but the jury is still out about Kincaid and Torrence. I really believe he's got some star power in this last draft with both of those picks, first and second round. Kincaid looks like a star in the making, in my opinion. Torrence as well at guard, and he can be a long-term starter but and a star player there. And in the year before, right, we have Terrell Bernard now becoming a star player. But if we take all Brandon Bean's drafts, and there are some people criticizing them, Josh Allen became obviously his biggest hit and the guy that really makes his job better, right? Because it's not like Brandon Bean's work hasn't been good, but it hasn't been totally awesome like some people want to believe. But he hit on Josh Allen, and it makes things easier, right? So Josh Allen, a superstar quarterback, made things easier, but he had some misses, and especially early, right? And when I say some misses, not about missing good players, but missing superstar players. For example, Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver is finally starting to turn that corner and become a more important player, a guy with superstar impact for the Bills. But we can't really say that he's been a superstar player since day one. We expected more from a top 10 pick, and the comparisons to Aaron Donald didn't help either. So now with Oliver starting to play a little bit better, okay, we can start to make a case for Ed Oliver becoming a superstar player in this league, but he's still not there. We still need more from him. We still need more from him in the playoffs, in the games that really matter. We need him to impact Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and all those guys. We need Oliver living in their backfield, and we haven't really seen him in those biggest games for the Bills. So when talking Greg Rousseau, he's been good. He's been sometimes great, but there are questions about him being able to stay healthy all season long. And when he's not healthy, thankfully, he's been able to keep playing and not leave the field. And that's awesome. But nobody can deny that you could expect more from Rousseau. Like, we could expect Rousseau playing at the level he plays at some points during the season when he's healthy all the time and dominating. And we haven't seen that from him yet for long stretches, right? And then the misses in the second round with Epenesa. I gotta put Epenesa as a miss, because that's a guy that never established himself as a starter. They needed to change or make him change his body type a lot during his career. And now it's starting to pay dividends, and he's got some good seasons recently with 6.5 sacks and being a solid part of the rotation. But again, that's not a difference maker in the big games for the Bills. That's not a guy that could become a solid starter opposite Rousseau, right? And Boogie Basham, even worse, he's not even part of the Bills anymore. So all those misses, Cody Ford, if you go back in more further and back in time, those are misses that hurt the Bills, because they not just missed good players, but they missed superstars, right? That's where you find superstars ideally early in the draft, obviously. And then he hit on several picks later with Dane Jackson's and of the life, with Benford now, right? And I didn't mention even Elon about another miss, another guy that's supposed to be a superstar player, first round pick, and unfortunately not so far. So he's been able to recover from some of those misses later in the draft with nice findings, but those findings are still good players. They aren't superstar players, total difference makers. Benford is developing well. Maybe he gets there, but he was a sixth-round pick for a reason, and his limitations might hold him from fulfilling this potential and becoming a true superstar. Who knows? I hope not, but so that's why I feel like Bean gotta hit and gotta find those superstars again. he's been able to build a good roster. This roster isn't awesome like some people want to believe. No, these guys, those guys aren't ultra talented talent all over the roster, a super Bills team, a dream team. No, it's not true, right? They aren't a trash team, obviously. They aren't a totally bad team without Josh Allen, but they aren't also a true contender without Josh Allen. Josh Allen carries a lot of this book. And so the Bills got to find more superstars to help him. Diggs used to help him. I hope he can continue to help him. Von Miller, when he was healthy, was playing like a guy who would help him in the playoffs. Oliver is starting to get there, right? We saw prime Micah Hyde, prime Jordan Poyer, prime Tre'Davious White helping the Bills a lot as superstar players, but they aren't those guys anymore. So the Bills can't miss what those guys aren't anymore, right? So the Bills got to find more superstar guys to help Josh Allen to get there. And Kincaid, I feel like, was a step in the right direction. Torrance, same way. So I hope he can, again, in this draft, add superstars in the making. They don't need to be superstars since day one, but they got to have this potential. Kincaid wasn't a superstar last year, but he clearly shows the potential. Torrance, he wasn't a superstar, but he shows the potential. So the Bills got to find those guys, and that's why it's so important for being in this draft, because via free agency, he only, with the budget that the Bills had, he only could go so far in that direction of bringing true superstar players to contribute. So he brought in solid guys, good starters, guys that should pan out in these schemes, but there are no guarantees you have a superstar player coming in this free agency group. In fact, it's even difficult to think which guy could become a superstar for us from this group of free agents that arrived at One Bills Drive. Maybe Curtis Samuel. Man, he hasn't had a great situation at quarterback, but he's been in the league for a while now, and I don't feel like he has the untapped potential to become a true difference maker, a true superstar wide receiver for the Bills. I feel like he can be a solid number two for a long time, and that's why it makes sense to offer the deal the Bills offered him, a long-term deal, because even if you move on from Diggs in a year or two, you can still have Curtis Samuel as a contributor, number two, number three, alongside Khalil Shakir, who's getting there as well and developing nicely. So that's why you got to find a new potential number one. You found a potential number one target, a potential number one wide receiver in Kike last year. So Bean got to keep going, and he can't afford to have the misses in the second round that he's had with Ford, Bashan, even Epeneza. So he got a hit on those picks like he did last year, as far as we could see from Kincaid and from Torrance in the second round. So that's where I am with Brandon Bean's situation, Brandon Bean's drafts, and I hope he can again have a good job and a good work and bring some nice talented guys to the Bills. So let's keep going. Cooper DeJean is out of the board. That would be in consideration for sure if he's available. Johnny Newton is there, right? If we were thinking jumping over Cardinals or Buccaneers for some reason, but Johnny Newton is there. Keon Coleman is there. Okay. Bo Nix is here, and it's important not for us, for the Bills, but for people wanting to trade up, because if somebody want to trade up for a quarterback here, we can move down a little bit. Adonai Mitchell is there. Savion Worth is there. Michael Penix, again, talking quarterback. So you have guys here that you can wait a little bit, right? Still a defensive tackle. Tavondre Sweat is there, but ideally he's not a first-round guy, right? At edge, Darius Robinson. He reminds me Boogie Basham too much to consider him here in the first round. At corner, TJ Temple from Iowa State. At safety, Tyler Nubbing is here, but Cameron Kitchens. I love Kitchens, but safety is a position where the Bills should wait a little bit. And then wide receivers, Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell, Savion Worthy, Ladd McConkey. A lot of people love Ladd McConkey. I'm not there. He grew in me a little bit, but I still don't see him as the same tier as those other three guys, Coleman, Mitchell, and Worthy. Troy Franklin, another guy that I never really loved since the beginning of the process, and he reminds me Jalin Hyatt too much, and not just because of the combine, but before the combine, watching the tape, he's always wide open, always downfield, always being used only like this, suspect hands. Not that I don't like totally Hyatt, but I don't know. I feel like Troy Franklin is very limited, and Xavier Leggett is still here. My guy, and especially the guy from Southern California, a guy that totally physical guy, a guy that reminds me a lot, DK Metcalf, right? And Randy Hardman, my friend, shout out to Randy Hardman, loves Xavier Leggett and has him comparison from AJ Brown. So would be nice to add Leggett for sure. Josh Allen talked about him recently a little bit, about his accent even. Josh has been studying the wide receiver, it seems, and it really seems like it's the year for wide receivers, right? And then offensive tackle, Tyler Guyton is still here, 28 prospect at guard. And then center, not a prospect for first round here. So those are the possibilities. I won't trade up here. Let me see how the board goes. Okay. So, the Buccaneers, I only hide here. The Buccaneers got Newton and Cardinals went offensive guard. We have plenty of options here, and I have some offers. If Brandon Bean's phone rings in at this time in the draft, I definitely believe he will listen. He will listen because there are a lot of possibilities still here, and he doesn't have that third round pick, right? So I can't see Brandon Bean ignoring this call. And then you have the 49ers making us move three spots in the first round and giving us pick 124. We have the Giants offering 47, 70 in a 2025 fourth. Which is interesting, right? But we drop a little bit too much for my taste here to 47. Bengals offering 49, 80 in a second next year, right? Those are the offers, okay? And I will accept this 49ers trade because I had 124. I can package it with other picks to move up a little bit and grab a third round pick maybe. And three picks later, I feel like we can still have some value. We still are in front of the Chiefs. And if we miss one of the wide receivers here, if we miss Coleman, we still have Adonai Mitchell, we still have Xavier Worthy. I'm totally fine with one of those guys. And I'm not 100% fine with McConkey, but maybe the Bills and Brandon Bean is fine with Ladd McConkey also. So, and then Frankly, and then you have Leggett. So there are a lot of possibilities here, right? I feel like I got to accept this trade, and I'm going to do that. So I'm going to accept here. So, and then look at this crazy stuff. I accept the trade, and they get Guyton at tackle, a guy that the Bills might consider for sure. And then we have Lions and Ravens going wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell and Keon Coleman. You know Adonai Mitchell is my favorite guy since day one, and I was expecting him to fall a little bit to us if the trade down. I was also expecting, if not Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman there. Keon Coleman is a guy that a lot of people don't like. I feel like the Bills have total possibility of going after Keon Coleman. People will point out to the 40 time as a slow time, 4.6. Dakota J, our favorite Jets fan, who's always here in the show, shout out to him. He's saying Keon Coleman to Buffalo. And even if Dakota is wishing us bad stuff, right? I will tell one thing, Dakota. I feel like Keon Coleman might be a good pick for the Bills. I know he's a little, he's a very boom or bust prospect for a lot of people, but I feel like Keon Coleman, man, there are so many similarities to Kelvin Benjamin when the Panthers draft Kelvin Benjamin. And I know when you talk Kelvin Benjamin nowadays, people laugh and people say, oh, that fat guy from California, from Carolina, right? From Carolina Panthers. Kelvin Benjamin was the number one wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers when Ken Newton was the MVP and went to the Super Bowl. And he was a true number one, a nightmare number one, because he was a mismatch. Every single snap, that guy was big. He could go after those balls and make those contested catches. He didn't need to separate that much because his size was a natural separation already. And Bean was part of that group that drafted him. And then Bean traded a second-round pick to the Panthers to bring him in as the first potential number one for Josh Allen in Buffalo. It didn't work out. Benjamin had a short Bills career. He had his moments with some contested catches. And he caught the first Josh Allen touchdown pass in the NFL. But it didn't pan out. It doesn't mean that Bean moved on totally from this kind of wide receiver. The Bills, since that failure with Benjamin, went in a different direction, trying to bring guys that could separate instead of big guys, quicker guys, faster guys. We could see John Brown, Cole Beasley, Diggs, right? This kind of wide receiver separators. But when Bean mentions wide receiver again, he mentions versatility. He mentions offering a different skill set from what you already have. And you already have separators in Stephon Diggs. You have in Shakir, right? You potentially have in Curtis Samuel. So Keon Coleman offers a lot of what prime Kelvin Benjamin offered back in the day. And he offers maybe a little bit more because that's a guy that offers yard after catch. Benjamin never had that in his game. But Keon Coleman, he couldn't run a fast 40, but he could run real fast in the gauntlet, catching passes. That's a drill that translates really well. Puka Nacua is an example. And this guy, he's big, physical. He can give you yards after catch. He can jump over people. So he can break tackles. He can run that ball from screens. So I really feel like Keon Coleman is a guy that Brandon Bean likes in this draft. And if he were available there, I would make him or first round pick. Unfortunately, he was picked just before alongside Adonai Mitchell. And I got to go in a different direction, right? And so going in a different direction here. Before that, please, Bills Mafia, hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Rumblings channel, support the Leading the Charge, send your comment, opine, right? Rafa is saying here, how about Kool-Aid? He's the best player available now, the cornerback, right? Possibility, man, but I wouldn't go, and I don't feel like the Bills will go corner first round if he is the only option here. Like Dejan, he offers versatility going to safety, and so I don't feel like the Bills will go corner first round. I feel they can go early, but not first round. I might be wrong, but that's how I see this situation. But he's definitely a good player available there. Maybe the best player available. So let's move forward. almost 40 minutes of leading the charge. I haven't done my first round pick. That's the most important one, so the others will go faster. And so, with Adonai Mitchell, Keel Coleman out of the board here, you got to consider other possibilities. Kool-Aid, definitely a possibility. You have some tackles and guards here. You still have Tyler Nubbin here, safety Darius Robinson, Led McConkey, TJ Tampa, another interesting cornerback. But again, I just feel like it's the perfect draft to add a potential number one wide receiver, right? And Adonai Mitchell and Keel Coleman would be my picks here if they were available. They aren't. In this case, man, I can't help myself and not go Xavien Worthy, okay? Xavien Worthy isn't Justin Ross. Xavien Worthy isn't Marquise Gooding, like some Bills fans want to believe. He was, in fact, the number one wide receiver in this Texas team. The offense was run through him and not through Adonai Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell has all the potential in the world. He's bigger, okay? I feel like he has better potential as a number one NFL wide receiver, ex-wide receiver. But Xavien Worthy, man, you can't go wrong with him. Because even if he doesn't become a true number one wide receiver in the NFL, he will be your elite number two guy, okay? I'm talking Jalen Waddle kind of number two, a guy that can be a number one on other teams. So, Xavien Worthy, he's light, all right? He's not a heavy player, he's light. But he's not small as Goodwin, as Ross, as other wide receivers that are that light. He's 6'1". He's a little bit tall. He's not one of those Smurfs, you know? So, and with that speed, man, I gotta add him to this Bills team. So, my first round pick, Xavien Worthy, Texas. You draft a potential difference maker, a guy that can be used in a rotation. You don't need to play him every single snap. He will be a huge downfield threat. He will make Stephon Diggs, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid's life getting open in the short intermediate area so easier with that speed. He's awesome as a weapon on screen passes. Might be a bit redundant with Samuel. Might be, but that Samuel isn't a guy that makes you not pick a guy that you really believe can become a difference maker. So Xavien Worthy, our first round pick. And Kool-Aid goes to just after our pick to the Chiefs, right? At corner, they just traded Snead, right? So they gotta go there. And so our next few picks, we have 60 and then 124 that we just traded and got it, right? Ahead of 128 and then 133. I feel like I can package those two picks to one around 90 maybe and get a third round pick. Maybe. So we'll see. Now with the wide receiver need in potential number one out of the board already, okay, we can go focus on defensive tackle. We can focus on safety, defensive backfield, and also on offensive line, right, with centers, guards, and tackles. So let's see how this second round goes. Paul Haynes, Darius Robinson to the Colts, Xavier Leggett at 47 to the Giants. Remembering, I feel like Randy Hartman will kill me when he sees my draft. Sorry, brother. But the Giants offered that 47th pick to us for a first round pick. And if we have accepted it, we could still live with Xavier Leggett, a guy that might be even more complete than Worthy, and a lot of value in the other picks that they offered, right? So Let's keep going. Let's check it out, the sequence of this draft. Malak Cordy, Tyler Nubbin, finally the first safety, Ronan Wilson. 52, we have the 60 pick. Tavondre Swift is still there. Wide receivers, obviously. And I feel like we can wait to 64 or safety here, and it will be a value pick. Jalen Polk, Troy Franklin to the Dolphins, Tavondre Swift to the Cowboys. So another offer here of trade down. At this point, I don't want to trade down anymore. I feel like I have the ammo to find a nice to move up to the third round and find a third round pick. Michael Penix is still on the board for people that want a quarterback and want to trade up. Man, in this pick, 60 overall pick, and we still have some defensive tackles here. On Horror from Clemson, Michael Hall, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Brandon Fisk, who killed it in the combine. They are still available in my board here. Dorlos is there. Nealon, interesting guys that I like at edge. Kamara is still there. At cornerback, Carson, Drain, James. At safety, Kinchens is there. Kinchens is my guy. Okay, yeah, I know he had a poor combine. I like Kalen Bullock as a center field kind of guy, but maybe the Bills don't feel like he offers enough versatility. He's not a good tackler. What's a totally deal breaker for the Bills? Like, you need to tackle well to play safety. I feel like Cameron Kitchens not running well in the combine will help him to fall to the Bills, and you can't pass on him. That's a total a difference maker at safety, a true football player. His old coach from Miami is there as the Bills' defensive back coach. And I feel like he comes in and he starts. If it's over Rapp or over Edwards, I don't know, but he starts and he's a different maker. I like those other safeties here, Javon Bullard as well. Taylor Demerson is value, but Kinchin is there, and I really like him. I feel like he's a perfect safety for the Bills. And I don't know. I don't see the value here to draft defensive line maybe over a safety here. Tackle, Blake Fisher is there. I like Van Pran, nice center, mobile. Experienced it from Georgia, but again, drafting center, it can wait a little bit, right? So I will make this second round pick, Cameron Kitchens from Miami. And then we start the trade up watch, all right? Michael Penix went to the Lions, interesting. And then the round three starts. And Quinn Jenkins go to the Cardinals here. So here, ideally, we get a defensive tackle, right? Or an edge guy to contribute. We already draft safety, already draft wide receiver. There is value at the wide receiver room still, right? But no, I don't know. The Bills can't draft several wide receivers because there won't be space to carry them on the 53-man roster, so it's hard to draft a lot of wide receivers early here. And offensive tackle, there is some value. So our next pick is just 124th. I'd like to package 124 and 128 maybe, or one of those picks, to jump to around 90, right? That's my idea. Let's check how this second round goes. Will she play? Ricky Purcell, Devontae Walker to the Chiefs, a guy that has a lot of speed, and the Bills just confirmed to have a pre-draft visit with him at One Bills Drive. And so Van Pran, Brandon Fitz going out there in the Falcons trading here. So defensive tackle, Fisk would be a nice addition here, and we just missed him. I can't afford to miss more talent there, right? McKinley Jackson is a nose tackle type. Dwayne Carter from Duke might be a guy that fits. I like him a lot. And then Mekhi Wingo at edge. I got to trade up here in this range. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do so with the Falcons or the Colts to secure a defensive tackle. Let me see a little bit more. Browns 85. Cowboys. Dwayne Carter to the Packers. So we are losing all the best prospects here at defensive tackle. Again, McKinley Jackson, I like the guy. He's a big guy, a mountain of a guy. But the Bills already have the nose tackle figured out, and they don't like to invest a lot on this position. Ideally, they find guys that can contribute. And then inside, and then Mason Smith, Mekhi Wingo, they are possibilities. At edge, Dorlos is still there. I feel like Dorlos is a nice value if I can trade up here. Maybe to the Buccaneers. Let me try to trade up with the Bucks, 89th overall pick. Let me find Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My goodness, I'm here. So the 89th pick, and I will throw 124th, 128th. I feel like it's not enough. Maybe 144 as well. I'll try my later pick, but we'll see. Okay, so nice trade. Got my 89 pick here because I can draft Brandon Dorlos here. Brandon Dorlos is a guy that can play edge, but can play inside as well. As an inside rusher, he's a big defensive end. All right. And we still have some value at corner, already drafted a safety. And at defensive tackle, McKinley Jackson is a guy that I like, but I don't see the Bills trading up for him here. Blake Fisher is there at 105, and that's another potential guy. Bortolini. Yeah. Well, I will stick to my original plan. Blake Fisher made me think a little bit, but I would draft Dorlos here. I feel like the value is nice here, and he offers versatility in that defensive line. Again, we don't need a guy to start in the defensive line maybe right now. Obviously, if you find a nice edge guy to start, good. But Dorlos can play inside and out, like ideally inside. His best value as an inside rusher. Even Rafa is mentioned here in the chat. Dorlos is a good three-technique guy with time spent at defensive end. Good value here. I totally agree. And you can play him as a run-stuffer defensive end. You can play him inside, kick him inside to some packages to rush the passer. So I feel like the value is good here. The straight-up is good to get some value in the third round, a pick that we are supposed to have, but we don't have from the compensatory formula. So Dorlos will be my pick here in the third round, and then I wait and see how the board falls in the other picks. No, my bad. Let me pick my guy here, Dorlos. So after picking Worth in the first round with a trade down, 31st overall pick, Cameron Kinchins, 60 overall, second round, and then third round with a trade up where I parted with 124, 128, and 160. I sent it to the Bucks for the pick 89th, right? I got Brandon Dorlus as a hybrid guy in the defensive line. We have 133, 144, 163, 189. We still have several picks and we still can move up a little bit when we want to, right? My next pick is 133. We are in the 102 pick. And the value here, Taylor Demerson is still there. Josh Newton from TCU is still there. He's a guy that is not a great athlete, right? But a solid player. And then Andrew Phillips from Kentucky as well. Mason Smith. So we have some value still. And in the offense, Blake Fisher is still there. I like Blake Fisher as a potential tackle here. Well, let me see how the board falls here to us. Josh Nitton's draft. Blake Fisher to the Chargers. Jermaine Button, the Jets with Jaden Hicks. The Raiders, 112. Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, a nice running back here. Running back, definitely the Bills should be looking at some value here. Ideally, Isaac Guerrero would be my pick with that crazy athleticism, but there are some others interesting names. And Braylon Allen, definitely one of them. I won't trade up for him. Jamari Trash is the next wide receiver. I really like Jamari Trash. Then Greenfield, Christian Jones from Texas. Nice tackle here. I like him. So let me bring him now into the Bengals. Buccaneers with 4 pick. Leonard Coleman. Braden Rice, trash to the Texans. So, 133 pick and running back with Odric Stime on the board. That's a nice running back from Notre Dame. Powerful back, a guy that fits our scheme or need now with James Cook and Ty Johnson already there. Ray Davis, another possibility. Bortolini is still there. Here I can draft. Here I feel totally comfortable drafting a safety. 133 pick, Tanner Bortolini, a guy that can come in and play really well. Former Wisconsin guy, and he can play. He's a solid starter at center. He can start from day one if you need him. So here is where I start to buy in. Going center, right? Let me check other possibilities on the defense. Tyler Davis from Clemson. Jordan Jefferson is a guy that I like on LSU at defensive tackle. I feel like he can add to our rotation as well. We already drafted Dorlus. Dorlus can play inside. So in this pick, I can wait a little bit for Kamara, I feel. I will take my chances and wait for Kamara for the next 10 picks. And cornerback here with Kyrie Jackson, maybe. Tall, rangy guy, nice athlete. I feel like Kyrie Jackson offers nice size. So from Oregon, I think he's a good pick here, the cornerback. So, Kerry Jackson. Bortolini went to the Chargers. So we lost Bortolini in this process. But it worked to still secure Kamara, I think, right? And I won't wait much more for Kamara, because that's a guy that can be developed and become a stud pass rusher. He hasn't played football for a while. So let's add to the rotation. And now we will have 163, 189, 200, 204. We still have a lot of picks, right? After picking five guys, we still need tackle or offensive line. And I'm not sure if I wait for 163 to secure a guy like Christian Jones, who offers all the potential in the world with his size. And I really like him as a prospect. Maybe Greenfield. Greenfield is another tough guy. So there are some possibilities. Let's see how the board goes. Ray Davis, Wiley, Jordan Jefferson is out. Remembering, I didn't draft the true defensive tackle, but Dorlos can play three technique, especially on pass rushing down. So that's why I went Kamara, and I feel like I'm good with my defensive line prospects here. So 163, I don't want to trade down. And then the value here, Taki Smith, that's a nice value at safety here, but we already have our guys. I can't stockpile quality here, and there won't be spots for these guys on the roster, right? This guy, Aaron Casey, not athletic enough. Gabe Hall. Devon Foster and Greenfield. I really like Greenfield. He's a tough guy. All right. I like Jones from Guerrero, is around the corner as well. I like Jones from Texas. I'm going Greenfield. That's a tough, really tough guy. A guy that I can see him becoming Spencer Brown replacement if needed, if he can secure Spencer Brown services for next season. Tommy Eichenberg going here. So 189, 200. Here I can trade up a little bit and secure other guys so I don't lose him. And the guy that I don't want to lose right now is Guerrero as a running back. So I already have plenty of positions figured out here. I have my defensive line. I have my safety, my wide receiver, corner depth, offensive tackle for offensive line. There aren't a lot of needs anymore. So I like trading up maybe here to secure Guerrero. And the Eagles have back-to-back picks. Let me try to jump over the Chiefs here. So the Eagles, I will send for 171. I can send 189 and 200 and see if they take it. Okay, so could jump up a little bit so I can secure my guy Isaac Guerrero at running back. And now I will have 204 and 248 to close the draft with nine guys. And again, I had plenty of stuff figured out already. I have my wide receiver one here, potential wide receiver one in the future. I have my starting safety. I have my contributor in the defensive line playing inside and out in Dorlos, right? Mainly inside. I have Kyrie Jackson as a cornerback prospect, that piece, a guy to be developed. outside with size, plenty of size, can become a really great tackler. I have a potential stud edge guy in Mohamed Kamara to rotate. I have Garrett Grenfell to be developed as offensive tackle prospect, maybe a backup for Spencer Brown, maybe take over from Spencer Brown. And I have a stud running back, ultra-athletic in Isaac Yeando, to be developed and to wait on the wings of James Cook, a guy with a lot of potential. So I have a lot of stuff figured out so far, and I can go simply best players available now, right? So Christian Jones is still here, and I really like the value. Another tackle, but it will depend on how much they love Van der Mark. It seems they really like the guy, right? You always can try to move those guys inside as well, so the value is here. This late in the draft, it wouldn't hurt to go another wide receiver. And wide receiver is obviously a deep group here. And there are some wide receivers here that I still like. Bub Means was played really well in the combine, right? Jordan Winton is a great slot guy from Texas. Enos Smith is a kind of what they wanted from Deontay Hardy. The guy is a mismatch everywhere, and he can even play some running back, has experience doing so, maybe a returner. So there are interesting names still at wide receiver. Not necessarily. I don't feel like there is a necessity to draft at center. And then in the defense, still have value here. Linebacker might be a necessity for depth purpose, not necessarily for to impact the game now, but to play some special teams to be developed. Might be interesting to draft one. Jackson Mitchell fits size-wise what the Bills like. Speeds. Corner and safety. So the prospect that I like the most here, let me just look at defensive tackles again. Yeah, but the prospect that I like the most here is the first one on my board, Christian Jones, another tackle from Texas, and I'm gonna pick him here. And then we have 248 pick or last pick in the draft to finish it out. Enos Smith drafted to the Bengals. That's a guy that I would really like to add in my last pick in round 7. Unfortunately, not available anymore. Closing out this draft, this mock draft, my first mock draft, Bills Mafia. After the free agency or the book of the moves of the free agency, hit that like button, subscribe to Buffalo Runners channel, help us to keep creating content for you. And let me know in the comments, what do you think about this draft? I'm closing it out with my last pick, the 7th round pick. My board has Drake Nungent as one of the best of available center here. We have a tight end in Ryman. We could bring some competition to Morris. He's like X. Gabriel Murphy. I like Gabriel Murphy, and the fact that he's still here, I will draft him, a flyer on him. That's a guy that might be more pro-ready than Kamara right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if Gabriel Murphy in this situation, this scenario, could play better than Kamara early. So that's a nice pick in the 7th. And let's close this draft. Two picks for the Jets. And here it is, Bills Mafia. That's my final results from this Bills mock draft. Leaving with Xavier Worth in round 1, right? And that's a guy that I don't see as he's a one-trick pony. No, that's a guy that can run a lot of routes. That's a guy that can become a difference maker. Obviously, with his weight, there is some questions about durability, but he can rotate. He can play. He can be a difference maker for Josh. He can be a guy that Josh can challenge himself to try to overthrow, right? So with the trade down, I missed opportunities on Coleman and Adonai Mitchell, but still could secure Worthy. McConkey was there. Leggett was there, right? For people who love all. Or Franklin was there as well, but Worthy was my guy here. I really like him and feel like the Bills got out of this draft with a true difference maker in Worthy at pick 31st and secured it 124. So I waited on my second round pick, 60 overall, and get out of here with Kenron Kinchens, starter safety, day one starter, future leader of this defense. Brandon Dorlos, I traded up to 89th. To do so, I sent 124, 128, and 160. That became Lobby, Evan Williams, and Terhib Steele. And drafted Brandon Dorlos in the 89th. He was sticking there, and I felt like it was a valuable move to add a potential hybrid guy that can play a little bit outside and play three technique really well, backup. Add Oliver there, play some valuable snaps alongside him on true passing downs. So Dorlos with some potential in the third round. Kyrie Jackson as a big cornerback prospect in the 133. 144th, Muhammad Kamara, a powerful and explosive edge rusher. Garrett Greenfield, 163. Nice offensive tackle prospect to be developed and maybe become the replacement for Spencer Brown next year. Traded up again to secure Isaac Guerrero, sent 189 and 200 to the Eagles and secured the services of the most athletic running back in the draft. Powerful guy, big guy, can run with power, but he's fast and he has it all to become a stud out of the backfield, to be developed behind Cook and Ty Johnson. Christian Jones saw the value here at 204, another tackle from Texas. A lot of value here in this pick, a guy that can even surpass Greenfield, right? Can compete with the other rookie. And Gabriel Worthy, again, seventh round, a lot of value. I couldn't pass on him. Wouldn't be surprised for Worthy being the better player right now than Kamara if it happens in the training camp. So I don't know about you, Bills Mafia, but I'm happy with this draft. If Bean comes out of the draft, if those guys, I'd be really happy. I feel like I added on every department of this roster. I added players with lots of potential. I added players with some superstar potential in Worthy, Kinchens, even Dorlos, right? And some of those guys in later rounds, like Arendo, they also can blossom out and become studs. So I'd be really ecstatic with this draft. I don't know about you, but that's my Bills mock 3.0. Rafa is grading my draft B+. So I will take it as a huge positive because Rafa is a guy that usually doesn't agree with me. He never agrees with me. So B plus from Rafael is like A plus from everybody else. So I will take it, right? Let me check out the other comments to see if I missed something. Dakota J, I love your passion about the Jets, Dakota, and shout out to you. Let me see if I'm missing any other. Baker was still there when Rafa commented. Smith can play nickel. Yeah, Taki Smith can play nickel for sure. Be Taron's backup. I feel like the Bills prepared themselves for that because you have, obviously, Ken Lewis. He's not awesome there, but he's been Taron's backup. And Mike Edwards can play some nickel as well. All right, so it's not like the Bills don't have players to play there. They have the same or even more players than they used to have. Cyron Neal wasn't a true backup for Tyrone Johnson. He wasn't even any better than Ken Lewis. So not a total necessity, in my opinion. in Dakota, finishing, we will go fighting for the division. Dolphins, New England are both toast. His opinion, love his passion. Bills Mafia, that's it. I will take the B plus. Let me know your opinion in the comment sections from YouTube. Grade my draft. Tell me what you think. What would you have done differently? Really appreciate taking your time and joining me today. And I'll be back on Sunday with another version of a mock draft for Brazilian, all the Brazilian audience in Latin America, Portuguese-speaking countries. I'll be doing another version and discussing with you and talking a lot of Bills. Thank you so much for joining me today. And the Leading the Charge in English will be back next Friday. This episode will be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts shortly. Okay, Bills Mafia. So thank you so much. Take care. Happy Easter to everybody. God bless you. And go Bills.